Good morning, good afternoon, or whatever it is. I'm coming and going this morning. We're looking at Philippians chapter 3, and I've been going through this book. We're now in the third chapter, and Paul, like any preacher, says finally, but he doesn't really mean finally, because he's going to go for another couple of chapters. I've done that many times. I go, and my one more point I would like to make. A lot of times it's not my one more point, right? There's another thing and another thing. Oh, well. That's part of public speaking, I guess. Knowing when to stop, they say, is one of the most important things. Keep them come back for more, right? Well, today we look at Philippians 3, as I said, and it starts off by saying, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." Well, there's only four chapters in the book of Philippians, and Paul says some 13 to 15 times, either have joy or rejoice in the Lord. Now, why do we have to have that reminder to be joyful? Are there things out there that are threatening to take away our joy? There's all kinds of stuff, right? As soon as we get open those doors, oh boy, you know, when we get home and get back to our world, Monday morning and all that stuff, there are lots of things in our world out there and inside us that can threaten to take away our joy. Happiness is different. Happiness is based on happenings, on circumstances going our way. And it seems like everybody recently driving feels like everything should go their way on the roads, right? Forget you. It's all about me. And I don't understand it. It's like, okay, did you think that maybe you'd have to turn right? Maybe put way back there, or just a last minute thing? Like you don't know where you're going. Oh, I need to be right there. Yes. And it's like, okay, can you just go down to the next light and turn around and come back? Is it that bad? Oh, no, I have to cut in front of you just so I can make it. It's all about me. By the way, I don't know if you heard this one commercial. You know the song we've sung Sunday school and churches and church, children's church for a long time. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. Have you heard this commercial on the radio about a bank? I've got the whole world in my hands. I've got the whole wide world in my hands. They've taken a Christian Sunday school song, turned it into a commercial about me, about I've got the world in my hands. Well, I don't know about you, but how does that work if we try to live our life like it's all in my hands? Is the whole wide world in your hands and mine? People think that, right? But eventually people come to the rude awakening, like a little toddler maybe will realize it's not all about me. Well, doggone it, that's not fair. And what do we say as parents? That's right, life isn't fair, right? We're just going to tell them that, and they have to learn that it's not going to always go our way, and there's a lot of things that can steal our joy. So Paul says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." And again, remember, he's saying this while he's in jail, near the bars. By the way, for the third Friday, I've not been able to see my inmates for one reason or another, but at least I've been able to get out. And seriously, there's a couple of times I was wondering, I'm going to spend the night here in jail, because I couldn't find anybody to open up those bars, those doors there. And it's a lot more fun to be on one side of the bars outside than it is in, let me tell you. Oh, so having joy no matter what, no matter which side of the bars we're on, can be a very important thing. And some inmates have realized that because of their newfound faith and their walk with the Lord in the jail, they found it, that they're actually thankful to God they're behind bars and they're able to work on their spiritual life. So it is a positive thing. So we are called to rejoice in the Lord and all the time. And Paul says, "It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again and again because it's a safeguard for you." Some churches want to have something new and a different teaching and something new found and discoveries. Is that what we want here? Some new stuff, ideas? So Pastor Perry, what are you going to talk about today? Oh, I don't know. I thought maybe I'd talk about global warming today. Is that why we're here? No. Did you know, Frank and Marianne, the other service, told me that their church, not their church, the church they used to go to, had a council ruling. And they get this, Cheryl and Daryl. They decided to get rid of all the Bibles in the church. I'm not kidding. Like, you've got to be kidding me. So we take away the Word of God and take them all out. So can you imagine the council saying, okay, we're going to get rid of all the Bibles, so let's just go by row. And I was asking Frank, well, what do they do with those Bibles? I hope they didn't burn them. I hope they gave them away. But can you imagine a church getting rid of the Bible? What is the matter? We need the Word of God, and it's only the Word of God that we preach. Paul said there was a local congregation named the Bereans from Berea, where they would check everything Paul said with the Word of God. And Paul said, that's good. Not just to take everything at face value, but to really check whatever is set up here is always based on the Word of God. And sometimes we need reminders. We know up here that God loves us, but we need to hear that all the time, right? About God's love, His forgiveness, His grace, His joy. And so Paul says, and it's not a problem to repeat these things. We need reminders because, again, as soon as we go out there, there's someone or something trying to steal our joy. So we need to protect our hearts and our minds with the Word of God, and sometimes we need it a reminder a lot of times. The other Daryl Shipman, the guy who Mr. Romans we talked about, he had the nickname Romans because he immersed his whole life when he was in jail and after he got out of jail with the Word of God, especially the Word of God in the book of Romans. He just meditated on it over and over, not just studying it, but meditating. Study just learning facts. Meditating is making it a part of your life, and it became such a part of his life that he talked about it a lot. Remember when Daryl would sit here, and it was never tiring, even though maybe it was the same thing, because it was fresh because he lived it. And wasn't like, oh, Daryl, we just heard that. You told us that 3 weeks ago, the same thing, or Bible class or in church. But he would remind us, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God, and we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus Christ's help, and it was just a freshness about it. So we need those reminders all the time, right? Say, well, Pastor Rick talked about that last week, so why are you mentioning it today? Absolutely. Yes. And so when you hear somebody whose life has been totally changed, you want to hear his story. Well, how did that happen? How did this remarkable change? And he says, I was a miserable drunk for most of my life. And he sounds like, when you talk to him, like he's been to a Bible college or something like that, because it immersed him so much, the life change. So it's not boring. See, Daryl, we heard that. We'll move on. Let's don't move on to something else. We talk about Jesus Christ every Sunday, right? Every time we're here. Why? It's all about Him. That song we just sang, In Christ, Christ alone. Not Christ and this, or in Christ maybe, or sometimes. It's always about Jesus. So Paul says, you know, it's no trouble for me to write the same things to you. We need to hear the Word of God. We need that repetition. What they say, repetition is the mother of all learning, whatever. And we need to hear the reminders of God's love and His grace and forgiveness. Okay. And he says, it is a safeguard for you. The world is talking a lot about security, right, nowadays. I hate these commercials because they freak me out about my phone, my computer, like, oh, I've got all these people out there lurking that are going to steal my information, and it's just going to happen, and I need this, and I need that, and I get so confused. I don't know who to believe. Like, well, what product is the best? Well, this one doesn't work. You can have this and still have your identity stolen. Like, well, great. Oh, boy, you know. So it's kind of a scary world. But security is really important, right? And so the whole thing about being secure is important, whether it be our homes and security systems and all that. You notice at our church here, we have these signs that talk about we have security. So we have security, not anymore. We got rid of the security system because we tripped alarms so many times. So we got people warning them that we have it, but we really don't. And a lot of people spiritually are that way. They're not building a security system for their heart and their soul. And they're saying, oh yeah, I'm secure, we're safe, no problem. Well, the devil's trying to get at us, and the world's trying to get at us. We need to protect ourselves with the safeguards in God's Word, right? So he says, it's a safeguard for you. He says, now Paul gets kind of nasty, but he does it out of love because he says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Paul was worried that while he was in jail, there are going to be false teachers creeping into the church and having wrong teachings. And talk about things that, well, if you do circumcision, if you do all these rituals and traditions, then you'll really be a Christian. Then you'll be saved. When Jesus said, it is finished, he meant that on the cross. He didn't say, well, it's almost paid for with all this suffering and death, but now you got to do the rest. He said, it's finished. It's paid in full, completely. The debt for our sins, he's paid for it all. But these false teachers were creeping in and saying, well, you need to do this, and you're not really being a true God lover and a follower of God if you don't do these rituals and don't do the circumcision the way the Jewish people said. So, Paul said, we are the ones that have the true circumcision, because we do it by the Holy Spirit, not in the flesh. You know, some people say, well, don't worry about the different people have different ideas. Frank was talking not only about this one church that took out the Bibles, but that actually was the same church. They had a Muslim minister come in and do his prayers and face the east and do all his bowing and so forth in the church service, the Christian church service, because they wanted to be more all-inclusive. So they got rid of their Bibles and they brought in the false teaching, false teacher basically, talking about, well, Jesus isn't the only way. Like, what is going on here? It's crazy. And people say, well, it just got to be loving, Pastor. And there's some teaching that's not real solid, so what? Well, imagine someone says, we're going to have an omelet for breakfast. Sounds good, right? We'll go out for brunch and there's going to be an omelet. And then the cook says, well, only thing is, that omelet I made, there were a couple rotten eggs. But the other's good. So you get some good eggs. Well, it ruins the whole omelet, right? And it's like, no, thank you. I think we'll go to somewhere else. JD, can we go with you? Let's go out to breakfast here, wherever you usually go, instead of having that omelet. In the same way, the church, people say, well, that church is okay. It's nice, and they're loving. And I don't agree with anything. Well, if it's not based on the Word of God, that's trouble. That's real trouble. And that's why Paul gives that warning there. All right. He talks about that we serve God by His Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. As Daryl, Mr. Romans, would say over and over, according to Romans 8, he said, you got to have the Holy Spirit when you read the Bible or when you worship, because without the Holy Spirit, there's no life, there's no energy, there's no joy, there's no power. But when the Holy Spirit comes with the Word of God, it changes everything. It's like a preacher, any of us who are preaching the Word of God, we have human words coming from here and just words from a human being, blah, blah, blah. But when the Holy Spirit comes with anointing of the Word of God, He comes along with those human words and brings energy and life and faith, and people come to faith in Jesus, have their whole life changed by the words, not of a person, but of the words of God through the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt like the pastors were reading your mail and like, how do they know this about me? Like, how come this goes on? Pastor Rick, does he know all this about all of us? No, he doesn't. But that the Holy Spirit does. God knows your number, right? He knows our hearts. And He'll bring in things into our church service that just for you, which is really cool, right? Just the right song or the right conversation that helps out and just changes everything. So that when the Word of God comes with the Holy Spirit, or when we have a church service with the Holy Spirit, it's totally different than a powerless, weak, Christless, spiritless church service. Totally. Who wants that, right? As well as boring. We don't need that. We don't want that. So Paul says, I don't put confidence in the flesh. I boast in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit. He says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. He says, if you want to play the churchy game, I can do that. I don't want to. He says, if you want to talk about how good you are and your good works, Paul was a very religious person at one time in his life, right? And he explains this, and he talks right here. And he's talking about his own background of, if you want to be talk about how religious I am, circumcised on the eighth day. He wasn't somebody who got circumcised and became a Jew later in life. He did it on the eighth day of his life. Of the people of Israel. So he's truly a Jew from the people of Israel. It's like the DNA thing and the ancestry.com. Paul had that down before it was a computer program. He knew all about his history, who he came from. The tribe of Benjamin, the one of the 12 tribes. A Hebrew of Hebrews, a total Jew, a Jew of all Jews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, that was the most conservative, strict group of the Jewish believers. They would know every little church doctrine and church rule, and if you didn't do it, they'd say, uh-oh, JD's folding his arms in church. Better check on that. He's causing trouble in the church. No, it's not real religious. And we can't have that in the church. We can't have this. We can't have that. We can't have happiness or joy. And they would mark down and judge people, even though they didn't judge themselves, of course. But Paul said he was a Pharisee. As for zeal, he had so much zeal that he'd go out and persecute and kill Christians because he thought he was doing God a favor by killing Christians. He thought, what is this group about this man who rose from the dead? That's obviously not true. Till Jesus knocked him off his high horse, literally, and he became a Christian. As for legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. He tried to be perfect. And he tried to do it all right, do church the right way. I was kidding Pastor Rick, because when we were in seminary, we were taught there was a certain way you had to approach the altar, and you had to turn a certain way. You couldn't turn this way, you had to turn that way. And who cares, right? And that's not what it's all about. In the mail this past week, I got my clergy card, which affirms that I am an official clergyman in the LCMC, and I'm in good standing. I'm going, and I was kidding Pastor Rick about it. I said, "Did you get your card?" He said, "Yeah, mine's some Reverend Doctor on mine." I'm like, "Well, I didn't have that. I am one, but I don't have it on my card." It's like, I don't need that, certainly with God or any of you. Say, "Oh, you're really a clergyman, a certified?" Who cares? Right? By the world being certified, it's, does God call us, right? It's crazy. And so Paul is saying, okay, you want to talk about religion based on self and tradition and ritual, I got you all beat. And he did. But it's not about that. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. Whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. He came around when he became a Christian. He says, whatever I had that was positive is now negative. That's what the theme for the sermon is, profit and loss. By the way, this is one of the first sermons I ever preached on this section of Scripture. Come a long way, many, many years. I preached at my home church, and I have 10 aunts and uncles all together, 9 uncles and 2 aunts, and they all sat in the front pews of my home church. And then I had to climb into this big pulpit as an old traditional church. I was shaking, literally shaking. I had written my sermon word for word like this, and all my relatives in the front and professors of the seminary, because the seminary at that time was at my home congregation. And then when I wanted to go to seminary, they moved it to Fort Wayne, Indiana. But anyway, it was in Springfield, Illinois. So I'm reading this, and I'm shaking and trembling. But I felt God was calling me to go to the ministry, because before that, I tried to work as an accountant. And it didn't work so well. Because, and Cheryl's laughing, because when I go to elders' meetings, why do we use all this paper for all these financial statements? Are we doing well or not? You know, do we have money in the bank or not? And analyzing, like Robin does, I have no clue. It's like a different language. And to think that I started off in accounting, and because my best friend in high school said, "Hey, you want to be an accountant?" I go, "Sure, why not?" So I started, and after taking beginning accounting, intermediate accounting, advanced accounting, cost accounting, business law, and a host of other accounting type, income tax accounting, which don't ask me about that, I realized this is not for me. Numbers, details, sitting behind a desk all day, no, thank you. That's the worst possible scenario for me. But what I'm getting at here is that the theme of the sermon is profit and loss. All that education, all that effort to find out what the bottom line is. But for a Christian, and we are called to be good financial managers, but is the bottom line of our lives profit and loss, how much money we make? Is that the true bottom line for us when we think about eternity? Is that God going to say, okay, how much is in your bank account? How much is in your retirement plan? Our retirement plan is out of this world, literally, right? It's in heaven. That's where our treasures are held, and that's where ultimately we will be if we believe in Jesus. So Paul says, I count everything as a loss. I write it off as a loss. Everything outside of Jesus, every single thing, all I want to know is, he says, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. A lot of people in our church lived the wrong way of life, right? They ended up in jail because they're addicts or they stole or whatever. And then they come to know Jesus and they find a much better way of living. And they just can't get over the difference. And we were talking about that at the 9 o'clock service, to imagine our lives without Jesus. Or what our life used to be without Christ, right? The difference it makes. It makes a lot of difference knowing Jesus, right? And the word for knowing there is the word for intimate knowledge. It's not just knowing facts about somebody. It's knowing them personally. And the word for I count everything is an accounting term. It's accounting. He's accounting, writing it off as lost, everything except for Jesus. But knowing Jesus intimately, having that relationship, and that's another thing Daryl would talk a lot about. It's got to have a relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. And without that, it means nothing. And so our lives are built on Jesus. Now, I want to ask you, can you imagine your life without knowing Christ? Without this church, so Sunday mornings, no more church, no more Bibles in your home, No more knowing Jesus. No more prayer. You're on your own, buddy. That's it. Can you imagine living that way? And most people do. How do they face health problems and crises and cancer and difficulties and divorce and drug addiction and codependency and losing a job and the worries about losing a job and all the stress and the problems of life without Jesus? I don't know how they do it, right? But thank God we don't have to worry about that. We have Him, that no matter what we go through, He's with us. So He's talking about counting everything as loss, writing it off as a loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord. Okay, next slide. Now, spiritual wealth, we attempt to gain on our own. Is that the way to go? Can we do anything? Are we saved by anything we do on our own? It's all about Jesus, right? Okay, next one, please. Not having a righteousness of my own, but one that is through faith in Christ Jesus. So now Paul realized it's not about me trying to be a good person. It's Jesus being my Savior and my Lord. That's what it's all about. Otherwise, why call this a Christian church? Okay, next slide, please. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. I don't know how many of you had New Year's resolutions, but it's been a while now, and a lot of people kind of like not so much, kind of forget about it. A lot of people signed up and were going to exercise classes at fitness centers the first 2 weeks of January, and now the parking lots, I notice, aren't as full anymore. But now that we're almost into March, it's a whole different story. But what's the goal of our life? Well, for Paul, it was one thing, that I may know Him, know Jesus, and as a result, know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being willing to sacrifice for Him, but knowing the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, and that I have His power to count to be connected to. We have this cord here, and I'm still not sure why this cord is here, right? It comes over there, and it stops here, and it goes nowhere. Do you know why, Daryl, we have that? I don't know why we have it there, but it's always been that way. So nobody moves it. And the same way, a lot of people go to church, but they're not connected. They have this cord, and go, I don't know what that's for. Or they say, we don't need that cord. It's like the church thing. We don't need the Bibles anymore. We'll just get them out, because they're not connecting us to anything. And a lot of times we have this cord that's not plugged in our lives. And when we get plugged in, as Daryl will talk about again, with the Holy Spirit, there's a vitality and an energy to our faith that just makes a whole difference. Right? Instead of just, well, just going to church. Right? Thank you. Yes, it makes a difference. And we weren't there when Jesus rose from the dead, and Paul wasn't either, but he knew the power of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus appeared to him. He saw the risen Christ, and we see Him by faith, and we experience the risen Lord. And how important is that to know that D is in heaven? We have that comfort, that hope, and that joy to know that our loved ones are in heaven. What a comfort, you know? And that this is not the end of our lives. The bottom line in the world is not our bottom line. We have a whole different accounting system, completely different. That was another thing in accounting. I had to learn a different accounting system. I go, wait a minute. I just learned this, and now you're teaching me that. With God, He has a different accounting system, and it's all Jesus, right? He says, I paid all your debts, paid in full. You are an inheritor of eternal life. Does a person has inheritance, do they earn that? When they pay it off, it's because you're related to family, right? And then you have that inheritance. And unfortunately, then families fight about it, which is not good. I remember one time I'm making a hospital call, person's dying, and the family members are just outside the hallway arguing about the money of the person who's not even dead yet. And later on, he came back and he got better. He remembered all what they said, and he took them out of his will. Good for him, because he heard all this stuff, and he says, okay, I'm going to give it to somebody else. How do you like that? They weren't real happy later on when their lawyer told them about all that, but that's the way it goes, right? It's not about that. And isn't it sad that money turns people into the worst version of themselves, and it's about money, right? You see the worst come out. But with Jesus and having Him inside us, we want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. And the Bible talks about a couple parables, which is basically an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And it talks about this guy who bought this property because there's a treasure hidden in it. And he says, it's worth me buying this property because I have this treasure. And another parable talks about this guy who found out about this beautiful pearl that was worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And whatever it took for him to acquire and to pay for that pearl was worth it. And in the same way, when we have the pearl of great price, it makes it all the difference in the world. When we know Jesus and His kingdom, can money buy that joy? Can money pay for that peace that we have, the love, the hope? No, it's priceless. That one commercial talks about going to a ball game, blah, 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 going to Europe, blah, 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 to have this credit card, and it says priceless. Well, it's not really priceless, right? But the pricelessness is knowing Jesus and the power of His resurrection. Just imagine with Kathy, all that she's been through, Kathy Gardner, and now she's doing better. Imagine not having that prayer of being plugged in, like this cord over here, it's not plugged into anything. We don't want to be that. We want to be plugged into someone, namely Jesus. And to watch her now go through this healing process again, it's thanks be to God, we say, and all the other people in our church that have been healed. It's amazing. Who would have thought, right? All this happens, and all the blessings, and all the healings, not just physical, but emotional and spiritual, even more importantly, that lives are changed in the inside, and they treat their kids differently. With Peter and Ursula, what they've been through, and the change is amazing. We were just talking about it in Bible class before I came in here, the change in their life. And even when people mistreat, Peter was talking about being mistreated by relatives. Now he can bite his tongue, and he has a different way of dealing with people than he ever had before. So that's what we thank God for. We praise God, who He is, our ultimate treasure, and we thank God for that. And all that, all we can say that all this we've talked about is one thing, and that is Amen, which means yes, yes, it shall be so. Amen. Amen.